My name is Kennada Boland, and it's really an honor to be here with you today. As you can see, Narcisse is a special group of people doing real life together. You don't get a show, you get real life, and real people pursuing relationship with Jesus and relationship with one another. So we're really happy that you're here today to worship with us, and I'm going to pray before I begin the message. Lord, I just thank you for today. I thank you for every person that you've brought here this morning. I thank you for your light. I thank you for your life. I thank you for your presence. And today, God, I just desire that you speak to us, that you love on us, that you would use my hands and my mouth and my heart to speak your words to every person here today, God, that you would have your way. We invite your Holy Spirit to come and to minister to our hearts and our spirits. Thank you for your peace. We love you, Jesus. Amen. So, as I was praying about today, I spent a lot of time in prayer. For each one of you, actually. You know, Narcisse and every person here has a special calling and a purpose that you were created for. And as I sought the Lord about what to say and what he wanted to say today, I felt like he brought people by face and by name to mind. And he showed me this notebook. You know, before technology was present with photos, you used to have these big photo albums. And they had these three-ring binders, or maybe they only had two in Europe and the Middle East, but three-ring binders in America. And they had these plastic sheets, kind of like this, and they held photos or important papers that you wanted to keep. And as I was praying for you guys, the Lord was showing me these notebooks, like these albums of, like, memories, of dreams, of goals, of promises, of hurts, of disappointments. I didn't see any specific pictures. I didn't see anything. He didn't show me the whole picture. He just showed me these albums of times and seasons and specific moments in your life that he knows, that he sees, that he's recorded. It says in the Word that he holds every one of our tears. He carries us. He sustains us. So I just want you to know that he sees you and he knows you. He holds us in the palm of his hands. He sustains us. He helps us. He knows our struggles. He knows every single loss. He knows everything you've ever given up for his sake or for your children or for anyone you've ever served. He knows all of our failures. He knows everything that's ever been taken from you. He knows the dreams. He knows the promises. He knows the whispers of your heart. And he loves you with an everlasting love. It says in Romans that he works all things for good for those who love him, for those who are called according to his purpose. The Lord is faithful, and he desires that we would rest in his goodness, that we would rest in the knowledge of who he is, in his greatness. I'm going to read Psalm 139. I know it's lengthy. I know you've all read it before. But today I really want you to just open your hearts and receive what the Lord says about you and the depths of how he feels about you. Oh Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thoughts from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down. You are intimately acquainted with all of my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. You have enclosed me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overtake me, and the light around me will be night, even darkness is not dark to you, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are all your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not even one of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Search me, God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Both Danny and Neek really highlighted the fact that we live in a broken world, and a lot of times our own hearts get broken. We get disappointed. We get hurt. And those affect how we do life. Those things affect our hearts before the Lord. Those things affect our relationships with other people. And so honestly, today, I felt like the Lord is inviting us. It's called to the great exchange, where we lay down these things, our brokenness, our pain, our disappointment, our wounds, and we receive from him what he desires to give us. It's beauty for ashes. The principle is based on Isaiah 61. He gives beauty for ashes, joy for mourning, praise for despair. And so today we're actually going to do this. We're going to take some time. I want you to pretend like you are in your prayer closet. You are totally alone. There's no one else in the room. Liz, would you mind coming to play for a little bit? And this is how it's going to work. This would be a good time to use the paper and pen if you wish. But the Lord desires fullness of life for each one of us. And in the process of saying yes to him and doing life with people, hard things happen. But he is faithful, and he desires to heal us. He desires for us to walk in fullness. So what we're going to do is we're going to take some time, and I want you to present before him those areas of brokenness. I know, like for women, a lot of times we can struggle with comparing ourselves to others. Even as a mom, like, comparison is a really hurtful thing. Jealousy, anger, I'm sure you could all list areas of struggle, things that wounds create in relationship. So I want you to take some time before the Lord, and I want you to say, Lord, if I give you this, because sometimes, you know, like, honestly, I've wrestled with independence my whole life. I got married at 35. And quite honestly, my dad died at 25. I was very good at taking care of myself. I'm very good at it. I'm strong. I'm independent. I can take care of myself. But that independence prevented me from receiving everything the Lord has for me. And so that's a constant thing I have to lay down. I don't want to do it on my own. God, I want what you have for me. I want your strength to be my strength. And so just giving him, if I give you my independence, if I give you this thing that quite honestly serves me at times, if I give this to you, what will you give me from your kingdom? If I lay down this anger or this resentment, what will you give me in return? It's called the great exchange, the divine exchange, because the enemy has come to only steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came that we would have life, and life abundant. So is everyone clear on what we're going to do? It's the divine exchange. I want you to really, like, do some inventory on the things in your heart, and I want you to lay it down before the Lord. You can even dump it with your hands if you want. You could gather up all of the struggles and just give it to him, and then ask what he has for you. Ask what he has for you. That is life. So we're just going to take some time. And I'll just do some verbal cues a little bit as it goes. But honestly, I want you, Lord, I just pray that you would create a safe space, that you would invite each person here into your presence, into the throne room of heaven, onto your lap as a father, whatever it is that each person desires and needs from you today, Lord. I pray, Lord, just for revelation. I pray for a mighty work of your Holy Spirit in our hearts. Lord, I pray that you would bring to mind things that you desire to lift, things that you desire to carry instead of this person. I really believe that the Lord will speak to you today. So even if it's a situation, just present it before him and say, Lord, this, here it is. What do you have for me in its place? I give you this thing. And he will answer. He desires to give you good gifts. Thank you, Lord. What else? What else do you desire to give your people, Lord? So, Lord, I thank you for life. I thank you for truth. I thank you for redemption. I thank you for beauty from ashes. I thank you that you speak to us, that we are your sheep and we hear your voice. We know your voice, God. And I thank you, God, that you don't expect us to be perfect. You know where we're broken and where we're weak. And it's not a hardship to you. You love to reveal yourself to us. You love to make yourself known. So I thank you for that today, and I thank you that the divine exchange is a gift. And as we walk with you, we can give you these areas and receive from your table. Always. We love you, Jesus. I encourage you to write down what the Lord has said. Because his words are faithful and true. So, Lord, I thank you that every person here has a destiny and a calling. You created them for a special purpose. You created them to reveal your glory. You desire that us, as the body of Christ, would reveal your nature and your heart to everyone around us. So I thank you, Lord, for healing. I thank you that you have really desired that we would move from glory to glory, that we would, in our walk with you, continue to become more and more like you. It says in Genesis 1:27 that God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God created us as image bearers of the King, to point to the original, to reflect him to the world. And we're created to know him and to love him, to be loved by him, to reveal him. Isaiah 43 says, we were created for his glory. And he gets the most glory when I am fully me and when you are fully you. Like Neek mentioned about Joseph, Joseph knew his calling on the earth. God had given him dreams from a very young man. And when we know who we are in God, you know, you can be thrown in prison. You can be slapped in the face. You can be spit on. But when you know who you are in him, God sustains you. He carries you. You have a promise and a destiny. And the Lord says, what I call you to, I will do. as you do what you were made to do, maybe you don't know what your calling is yet, then you just obey Jesus in this step by step. He's just going to show you step by step. And one day you might see the big picture, or maybe you won't. But as we faithfully seek the face of God, not only are we changed, but he receives glory. Your relationship with Jesus is unique and is personal. Your relationship with God and your knowledge of him and his knowledge of you reveals God to those people around you. It reveals a nature of his character that only you can reveal. When you love others right where God placed you, you're touching people that no one else ever will. So just being at the right place at the right time is a gift. You carry the Holy Spirit. You carry his presence. You carry his life. And it transforms the atmosphere around you. The nature of you, your life is important. What you carry reveals aspects of God that no one on the earth can. No one else in Jerusalem can reveal that nature of God that you carry. Your life is important. You being you is essential to the fullness of the glory of God being revealed on the earth. He chose us. He called us by name. He called us to this place. And as we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, he will accomplish everything that concerns him. You know, I feel like, I mean, on the earth, of course, there's many other opinions and there's many expectations and there's social media, which tells you what you should and shouldn't do, or this pressure to be something or not be something. But really, as we are rooted and grounded in his love. I'm actually going to turn there just a second. This is, of course, Paul writing in Ephesians. But this is also us. This is the calling that we walk in. It says, to us, the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach the unfathomable riches of Christ. And this is just with our lives, to live the unfathomable riches of Christ and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for ages was hidden in God who created all things, so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. This is in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in him. Therefore, I ask you not to lose heart in tribulations, for they are your glory. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more, abundantly beyond all we could ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. As we live unto God for an audience of one, there's a lot of audiences out there that you could live for. But as we live for an audience of one, and we run the race with perseverance, the race marked out for us, and throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us, he will sustain us. He will get all the glory, but we don't run alone. Not only is there this great cloud of witnesses, we get to run together. On this time on the earth, we get to run together. In 2004, I actually ran the Chicago Marathon, and every single meter of the whole marathon was lined with people cheering. And anytime you would get tired, there was someone, there was a kid, there was a person waving a banner and just really cheering that you would succeed, that you would finish the race. And anytime I felt like quitting or stopping or walking, you know, there was someone there cheering, yelling for you, really like pulling for you. And it's the same. This is the great cloud of witnesses. This is what we get to do as the body of Christ. We do not run alone, you guys. We're running together. And as we walk in the fullness of what we're called to, and we walk in our identity in Christ, and we're healed and we're whole, we can cheer for others. We can champion others. We can lift them up, and we can really finish the race. And it takes all of us, you guys. We're the ones cheering each other on. There is a great cloud of witnesses. And I think on rare occasions, we get a glimpse of what that is. And, you know, just that little sound of heaven that says it's really real. You're not alone. But on the earth and in the church, we get to champion one another. We get to lift each other up. We get to encourage each other in truth and in life. And this is what God desires. And this is what reveals the love. He says, they will know you by your love. So today I just want to agree with God's heart for you, his heart of love over you, his heart for the fullness of life in your own personal walk with him, your own spirit. I want to, we just pray right now, Lord, that you would give us eyes fixed on you. That we would know the race that you've called us to. Even if it's just for seasons, that you show us, this is where I've called you. This is, you're a part of the field. Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit within us would rise up with confidence and identity, that you would continue to speak truth over who we are in you, over who you've made us to be, over how much you love us, God, that we are enough. And that we could truly see others the way that you see them. As we pray for one another, as we link arms together to run this race, God, I pray that we could really see the way that you see, and that we could release people into their destiny, that we could see people, that we could champion others and what you've called them to and who you are in them. God, you're so amazing. Your ways are perfect. And every person here reflects an element and a nature of you that no one else can. God, we want to see you. We want you to have your perfect way here. So I thank you for every person that you brought here today. I thank you for Narquis Street congregation and its heart to welcome and receive and encourage people exactly where they are. I thank you, Lord, for people who are pursuing you with their whole hearts and their whole lives. And I pray, God, that you would continue to lead us into healing of our own hearts, that we could let go of things that are not of you, that we could release to you and invite you into broken places, that you would restore and redeem and make whole so we can run well this race, that you would be fully glorified in our hearts and in our lives and in this body of Christ. And I pray, God, that you would just encourage each person here, that they would, just a breath from your Holy Spirit. A breath of encouragement and life and fullness, and how special and unique you made them to be. We love you, Jesus. You are worthy of it all. Thank you for giving us one another. Thank you, Lord, that you're faithful to complete every work that you begin. Amen.